this Listening with Excellence podcast featuring the 2019 IAPSS District 7 Superintendent of the Year and Superintendent of New Albany Floyd County Schools in New Albany, Indiana, Dr. Travis Madison. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, Executive Director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and servant leader. Someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and a genuine care for people. Let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Dr. Travis Madison. Welcome, Travis.
Thanks, Dr. Butts. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about New Albany Floyd. Consolidated district, it's three names in there.
Yeah.
Tell us about New Albany Floyd.
Countywide school district.
Okay.
We serve two different 4A high schools, but also have the largest freestanding career center in the state of Indiana as well that we get to work with and get to handle as well. Tremendous community. Two high schools, New Albany High School, Floyd Central High School, and then some wonderful middle schools, three middle schools that serve those two high schools, and then nine elementaries. And then, like I said, we have Prosser Career Center, which we're very proud of, that does a great job that partners with 16 other school districts in our area.
So, that's a large number of schools that are coming into your career center.
A lot of small rural districts, but we've got some larger school districts as well, so it's kind of a good mix of both, and it enables us to offer some programs a lot of those smaller districts wouldn't ordinarily have an opportunity to do on their own. So it's very powerful.
Travis, if you would not have gone into education, if you didn't ascend into the superintendency, was there something else that you were thinking about when you were in high school or even early in college?
Well, first off, I never dreamed I'd be a superintendent. So I always knew from a very early on it was either going to be education. And then I also had a kind of an interest in architecture.
So okay.
My original plan was to go to Ball State, and I was going to make my decision when I got there.
Okay.
Ended up not going to Ball State, went to University of Evansville instead, and started coaching and getting some early education opportunities in my undergrad. And again, I just knew either one, but education was always somewhere that I leaned because of some of the great teachers and coaches that I had growing up that were influential not only to me, but to my, I have two brothers and they stepped in a lot and just were tremendous influences. And I just always looked at it as, I looked up to so many of my teachers through the years, and just not just the compassion and the care that they showed, but just, was always a highly respected profession, at least from our family. And even though my mom was going to pursue a career in education and ended up kind of the roadmap differed for her and got married and had kids. And then when she retired, she actually went in and ran her own daycare from home when all of us moved out. So education was always something that she took great pride in, and our parents really, really emphasized for us. And so it was always either one, but I always had a passion and looked up so much to my teachers that it was a profession that I felt like would be noble, but also somewhere I could really have an impact and pass, you know, pay it forward to what so many of those folks did for me and my family.
Yeah. New Albany Floyd is not your first superintendency. So what was your pathway to the superintendency in New Albany Floyd? Did you start off as a teacher, building level administrator?
Sure. Got into administration really early. I started off as an English teacher and a coach at White River Valley School, which is a very small district in southern Indiana, near Terre Haute area. And then worked there for 6 years. And then about 3 years into my career, mentor of mine, one of the early mentors of mine, was the assistant principal athletic director. Got to know him real well as a young teacher at that district. He ascended into the principal's role, and he said, hey, tapped me on the shoulder and said, I know, I'd love to have you come along as my assistant and run the athletic department here. Yeah. And I was like, well, can I still coach some, and can I do the things with kids that I was doing? And he said, certainly. So, still run the student council, still do a lot of the pep club stuff, all the stuff that I enjoyed doing. So I did that for 3 years, and then Bar Reeve, it was a district that was nearby where I grew up. Didn't know the superintendent at that time, but heard good things about him. He'd just gotten hired there. And so I applied. Really, at that point in time, I thought, well, I'll get some interview experience. I just finished up my master's program in Indiana State. Mm-hmm. And interviewed, fell in love with the board that I interviewed with, and then also the superintendent. We just hit it off. And So they offered me that superintendency when I was 28, 29 years old. I think we were in the same group. Uh-huh. We started at the same time when you transitioned in over to Wayne Township to take over. So I did that for 12 years there, or that was the principal's job. Mm-hmm. Did that for 9 years. And then when Brian Harmon, who was the superintendent that hired me, moved to a larger district, the board tapped me to take his space. And I did that for 12 at Bar Reeve as superintendent. And then 3 years ago, again, some folks reached out to me in regards to the New Albany Floyd County position. I was very happy where I was at. And sometimes they say, well, make a decision when you're happy and mm-hmm. think about it. And it was a major move for me because I had been a part of so many great things and had a great team and things were going really well at Bar Reeve. But at the same time, had some folks reach out that I respect and admire and said, why don't you try this? Why don't you give this a go and new challenge? And it has invigorated me and enabled me to utilize and stretch myself a little bit, which is what we're always encouraging our kids to do,
right?
What we're always encouraging our teachers to do. So again, it enabled me to do that at a time in my career where I was like, hey, this gives me an opportunity to really have greater influence maybe, and also an opportunity to work with so many different people and again, a different community enabled me a chance to learn more about the craft and learn more about all the different dynamics of doing that type of a job, because it is a much different job than what I had before in a lot of respects.
Absolutely.
But I've enjoyed every minute of it.
So family is so important, and I know it is to you and what you do. You had to make the really hard decision when you took over at New Albany Floyd of how to make that adjustment. And so you live during the week in your school district, but your family has stayed so your kids could continue on with school and graduate from the school of where their friends are and all of those things. Talk about that dynamic, because not everybody understands that there's a lot of sacrifices that are made for leaders, especially when you're moving to bigger roles. This is one that you and your wife and your family really had to make a decision on. So talk to us a little bit about that dynamic.
Yeah. Timing was kind of important. My older two kids had graduated. My son Grant had just graduated from Bar Reeve when I took the job at New Albany Floyd, and my youngest Graham was in middle school. And it's one of those things where we're kind of year to year on that. We obviously at that point in time, my wife's job, he was in the middle school. We kind of talked to him every year. Mm-hmm. And again, he's in a good group of kids that he's grown up with there. So again, we're year to year, but at the same time, he's very engrossed there with the things and the activities he has. And so, we do at this point in time. And again, there's a lot of people out there that travel for work and do different things. It's just making sure you adequately schedule the time appropriately. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, I probably have more balance now than I did when I was at Bar Reeve, if that makes any sense, even though I'm an hour and a half away from where I work, because when I'm there, I'm locked in and I'm doing the things that I need to do. And then when I'm home, I do have a little bit better balance. At least that's what my wife's told me, because I didn't have a lot of balance before.
Sure.
And I'm not going to say I'm great now, but I'm much better than I was.
Well, because now when you go to church or the grocery store or anywhere else, you're no longer Dr. Madison, the superintendent. No. You're just dad.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot. We get to the car a lot quicker after dinner and things like that. But it's just striking that balance. It's important that I'm visible in the community that I am working in and been able to support a lot of the different things that are going on there. Mm. But we all know you can't be everywhere at once.
Yeah.
So again, right now it's worked out well. I feel like I'm giving everything that I have to the district which I work and the team that I'm a part of. And then also, my wife and I, administrators' wives, a lot like coaches' wives, they have to be a special breed. And she's one that understood very early on when she started dating me, because I didn't start dating her until I had started working. And she saw how much I was passionate about kids and what I was doing. And I think I was teasing somebody. I said, I don't really have a lot of redeeming qualities. So I'm thinking maybe that's something she liked in me or she fell in love with, is the fact that I had a passion for what I was doing. And I know she's mentioned several times she's a CPA, but she says she just feels like that in her job, she gets to influence and help people, but not to the extreme extent that we get to. So she's kind of jealous at times, but she's been a great tag along and our family's been involved with things over the years. So it's truly a family affair when it comes to what we do with the positions that I've held.
You mentioned balance, and you've been a superintendent long enough that you were able to figure out how to separate. And obviously being in a different location helps that separation. But what do you like to do? What does Travis like to do when he has time away from being superintendent to just fill up your bucket?
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy still watching athletics. I grew up an athlete. And so I enjoy, watching a ball game here and there. And, obviously, I enjoy spending time with my family, kids, doing the things that they're doing, following them wherever they are at. And again, I still have one that's in middle school, so he's still actively involved in different things. I enjoy reading. I don't probably sit down and read as much as I need to. Now it's piecemeal on my phone. It's like, you know, it's one of the things I really buy a hard book hardly anymore. I do every once in a while, but normally it's things that I got on my phone or on Kindle on my phone or or on my device and try to do some of that a little bit just to get away from time to time. And, you know, I like to get on X some, but again, I'm very selective of who I follow because that can steer you one direction or another. But I know when I was in, when it first came out, Todd Whitaker is also somebody that I grew pretty close with when I was in Indiana State through my master's program. And he kind of got me on at the first and said it was at that time one of the best PDs that he could have and he utilized. And now it's since kind of morphed into a lot of other things, but a lot of it depends on who you follow.
That's right.
And what you're looking for when you go there, just like with other things. So, and I follow a lot of folks that are embedded in different education entities. And so there's different things you can find, different podcasts you can find that are linked in there. So I do spend a lot of time there just to tackle some things and read some articles and find some different things that I feel like could be positive or impactful.
It's a conversation we're having at the State House here in Indiana right now about the impact of social media on our young people and their own mental health.
Yeah, it's scary. And certainly having kids that have grown up during that time period, you know, we tried to be we were probably more of the stricter parents because for my job, I could see some of the bad things that can happen and some of the things that we had to deal with from a leadership level and education, some of the things we could see them impacting kids. So my kids probably faced a little bit stricter rules and regulations just because of that. But, you know, again, it's there and you also want to teach your kids to be, you know, we also want to teach our kids to understand that how to be consumers of that information and how to be, you know, how to handle it appropriately and responsibly. Yes. That's part of our mission too, as parents, but also as educators to understand that, you know, a lot of that stuff's not real. Mm-hmm. The pitfalls, the dangers, because if we don't, then I don't know where they're going to get it from because there's a lot of things there that they may not understand. So to try to strike that healthy balance as well is important to make sure that they understand that everything that's on their phone is not private and nothing's private.
Isn't
and
that so, the truth?
Yeah.
You're fairly new at New Albany Floyd, 3 years. You haven't gotten to know everybody, and certainly everybody has not gotten to know you. So if you were able to just sit down with somebody, what would you want them to know? What do you want those people who haven't gotten to know your heart yet, that haven't really gotten to know Travis Madison, what is it that you would want them to know about you?
I think the biggest thing that I've always tried to do in any position that I've held is to understand that I consider myself a servant leader first, and it's all about we. Even though I'm the one that is tasked with leading the district, but it's a team feel. And every email, every correspondence I send out, it's team related. And and I guess the biggest thing I hopefully folks that I've worked with over the years. They feel that what they see is what they get. I try to walk the walk, or I talk the talk, but I try to walk the walk, and I'm authentic in what I do. I consider myself a very empathetic person and a compassionate person, and I try to make decisions based upon always what's best for kids, and then I also try to put myself in the position of the person that I'm dealing with when I'm dealing with them to try to be as empathetic as possible because we deal with so many different circumstances and decisions on a daily basis, and we know that most of them are going to be 50-50, 60-40. So you just try to put yourself in a position to where you consider both sides when you're doing that. And I guess the biggest thing that I hope people see when they see the decisions that I make or when they see me out and about, that I'm approachable, that I'm somebody that wants to build relationships, and that I'm in it to serve them. That's what I'm there for, is to serve the district and to hopefully lead the team and work with unbelievable people each and every day to help kids' dreams come true and to help teachers be able to fulfill their mission that they've been driven to pursue.
Yeah.
And then all the different folks that work within the district to make sure they feel supported and they feel like that they're part of something very special because we truly are. And we make a difference and we're so important to our communities. And my hope is that they feel that from their leader that I support them wholeheartedly and I'm trying to do everything in my power and it's working within the team that I work with my cabinet to make sure that we fully support them and give them everything they need to be able to do the things they need to do to make kids' dreams happen.
You've taken on a leadership role in IAPSS and have served on committees and represented superintendents at the Secretary of Education's office and in a variety of other things. You've been recognized by your peers as a district superintendent of the year. When you think about leading with excellence, clearly you have been identified as one of those individuals who leads with excellence. But what does that mean to you in the context of public education?
I think it goes back to just what I mentioned before is how you approach each and every day. You know, the read I'm doing right now is, you know, we've all seen the Simon Sinek, you know, start with why, but the book I'm reading right now is Begin With We. And it talks about, it drills it down to 10 different things. It's a book out of corporate America, but it lends itself to education and the 10 different dynamics, and they all begin with we. And it's understanding that you can't do anything alone, and you need to make sure you have strong people with you. And I think the biggest thing they need to see from me is that, again, that support each and every day, that I'm willing to listen. And I think you even mentioned this one time when I called you when I was moving to a different position, and we talked quite a bit, because I lean on a lot of different folks over the years that have been tremendous mentors to me, but also just great colleagues. Is and you're in cabinet. I mean, I spend most of my time sitting back and listening to the folks that are empowered to do the roles that they do. And then when they need something from me, or they need a question, or I have a question on something, I do less of the talking than anybody. And that's important. And I felt like that was something that you passed on to me whenever I took the job, and it served me well. And I use the old Ted Lasso quote, you know, be curious, not judgmental.
That's right.
And I think throughout the years, I've been very blessed. And I feel like it's something that God made it, at least instilled in me, that I watched a lot of leaders, and I watched a lot of teachers and coaches and different people. And the one thing that Dr. Whitaker always said is there's nobody out there saying, I'm just giving half. They're trying their best. Now, they may be more effective than others, depends on what role they're in, but every leader and every aspect that I've watched throughout the time is trying to do their best. So instead of judging them, I was curious. Okay, so you just kind of watch what they do and say, okay, would I have handled things that way? Not necessarily being critical of them, but so I've been blessed to at least be observant, be curious about all the different things as I worked my way up into the different roles that I've led. And I feel like that's helped me, because nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. But again, trying to pick things apart, pick things from each person or each different dynamic that I can see. And, you know, when I look at the style of leadership that I try to do, I feel like I emulate tons of people that I've seen and watched and heard over the years. It's not just maybe one, but I try to, whether it's at a meeting or, you know, going to a training or a workshop or a conference or whatever. I mean, that's how I approach things. That's how I've always approached them. And it's just something that over the years, again, it's just been, I've always tried to be whether I'm in a situation, just observant and just in the moment to be able to pick those things up. And I don't know, even from a young age, I probably drove my parents crazy because I was just always asking questions and doing this, just curious about things and just wanting to continue to learn. And I look at that now as I feel like that's helped me because it's enabled me to be a part of great teams, but also helped me lead because, you know, I'm curious. I'm not judgmental. Mm-hmm. Let's find the root of the issue. Let's find the root of this situation, and let's tackle it together.
Barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Travis, thanks for being my guest.
You got it.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the 2019 IAPSS District 7 Superintendent of the Year and Superintendent of New Albany Floyd County Schools in New Albany, Indiana, Dr. Travis Madison. Travis's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.